ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6 Chapter 17, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. Text 29. Dehinam Dehasam Yogat Dvandvani Ishvara Lilaya Sukham, Dukham, Mriti, Janma, Shapaha, Anugraha, Eva, Cha. Dihinam Deyasam Yoga, Dvanvani Shwaradilaya, Sukham, Dukham, Mriti, Janma, Shapo no graha eva cha. Dehinam deha yo sam yoga. Dvandva nishvara lilaya. Sukham dukham ritir janma. Shapo no graha eva cha. Dehinam deha yoga sam yoga Dvandvanishvara nilaya Sukham dukham ritir janma Shapo nugraha eva cha Dehinam Of all those who have accepted material bodies Dehasam yogat, because of contact with the material body. Dvandvani, dualities. Ishvara lilaya, by the supreme will of the Lord. Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distress. Mriti, death. Janma, birth. Shapaha, curse. Anugraha, favor. Eva, certainly. Cha, and. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Because of the actions of the Supreme Lord's external energy, the living entities are conditioned in contact with material bodies. The dualities of happiness and distress, birth and death, curses and favors are natural byproducts of this contact in the material world. Purport by His Divine Grace. In Bhagavad Gita we find Maya Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachada Chadam. And the material world works under the direction of the goddess Durga, the material energy of the Lord. But she acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 544. Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shaktireka chai jeva yasya bhuvanani vivarti durga. Durga, the goddess Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, is extremely powerful. She can create, maintain, and annihilate any number of universes by her sweet will. but she acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, not independently. Krishna is impartial, but because this is the material world of duality, such relative terms as happiness and distress, curses and favors are created by the will of the Supreme. Those who are not Narayana Para, pure devotees, must be disturbed by this duality of the material world. Whereas devotees who are simply attached to the service of the Lord are not at all disturbed by it. For example, Haridas Thakur was beaten with a cane 22 bazaars, but he was never disturbed. Instead, he smilingly tolerated the beating. Despite the disturbing dualities of the material world, devotees are not disturbed at all, because they fix their minds on the lotus feet of the Lord and concentrate on the holy name of the Lord. They do not feel the so-called pains and pleasures caused by the dualities of this material world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dehinam deha samyogad dvandvanishvara lilaya sukham dukham mritir janma chapo nugraha evacha. Very interesting pastime. Cursing of Maharaj Chittaketu. Here Lord Shiva is going deeper into the understanding of why it was that Chittaketu could make such a mistake, and that Parvati could make such a mistake. Chittaketu Maharaj was a great Kshatriya. He was a Gandharva-like person, traveling at will. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. Aside from his physical position, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that he was actually on the same level as Shiva. And him making fun of Lord Shiva because of the social awkward position that he was in, with naked Parvati his lap, his wife on his lap, in the midst of great sages, this appeared to me a behavior that was an unbecoming such an exalted person as Lord Shiva. So Chittaketu took the opportunity to say something. But in the dealings of these levels of personalities, we should always understand that there's many, many more things going on that meet the eye. We don't see things just with our eyes. We see things with our ears. We see things with our understanding. A small child, ignorant of the ways of the world, will come into a room and look and see the forms, see everyone sitting here, see a person sitting on a seat talking to everyone, and everyone's attentively listening and trying to learn something. But he won't understand what he's seeing. Mature person coming into the same room, seeing the same forms, will understand what's going on. So Lord Shiva here is explaining more deeply what actually happened, what actually went on when Chittaketu, flying overhead, looked at Shiva and saw him in that apparently compromised position, and spoke some words that were critical, apparently. Actually, they were joking words. They were joking words. They were not meant to offend. They were joking words between two exalted souls. But at the same time, there was some meaning behind Chittaketu's words. Because of Lord Shiva's exalted position, even though he was above doing anything wrong, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, we should never, ever criticize persons who are superior to us. What to speak of the great, powerful personalities of the universe, such as Lord Shiva, most powerful Vaishnava. Because they have more, their motives are deep and unfathomable. And they can do things that ordinary people can't do without getting reactions, without breaking the rules. They're above the rules. But still, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, whatever action a great man follows, does, then other people follow. Therefore, even if we're beyond the rules, we should never act beyond the rules. For the benefit of others. Krishna says, Shakta Karmanya Vidvanso Yita Kurvanti Bharata Kurya Vidvansita Shaktis Chikirshu Lokasandra. Shakta Karmanya Vidvanso, a person who's attached may act in a certain way. Shakta Karmanya Vidyata Kurvanti Bharata Kurya Vidvansita Shaktas. And a person who's not attached may act in the same way. But for a different reason. What is that reason? Chakirishu, Lakusamadha. For the benefit of others, for the example and for the benefit of others, the great souls act the way they do. Krishna himself, in the Gita, he says, Nami Parthasti Karta, Trishu, Loshi, Kinchu, Kinchana. Nanabhapta bhabhapta varta epachikarmani. He said, I don't have any duties to perform. I'm not attached to the fruits. There's no rule that applies to Krishna. He's beyond anyone's control. He's the controller of everything. Here, maya jakshina prakriti suyate sajana. But he says, Yadi yaham na vartaya jatu karmaya tandita mama vartmana vartante manusha partha sarvasha. If I didn't act properly, because I am who I am, everyone would follow me and all the world would become confused. Utside rime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sankarasa tukartaha upahanyami mapajana. I would be the cause, if I were to misbehave in the position that I'm in, I would be the cause of misleading people. And causing what? Varnasankara. Varnasankara means unwanted population, unwanted children. The whole world now, the whole world is bristling with violence and ignorance and lust and passion and everything. Because it is filled with unwanted children, unwanted population. When the children are not wanted, when they're not conceived properly by parents who want to bring a good child into the world and train them in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, then what happens? They neglect them. They get neglected. Because in this age, everyone's interested only in one thing, their own sense gratification. And if something interferes with that sense gratification, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Even their own offspring, they will neglect the child so that they can be undisturbed in their sense gratification. The devotee of the Lord is also undisturbed, but he's not undisturbed in the same way. He's not undisturbed in his sense gratification. He's undisturbed in his devotional service. This is what it means to be steady. This is what it means. If you count the verses in the Gita that have something to do with this idea, samadukha sukham dhiram, somitat vayakalpate, natvam shochitam adasi, don't lament, sukaduka same kripa, lab jyaya, tato yudaya yujasu, naivam papa avapshasi. Don't become overwhelmed with jubilation when things go well. Sukaduka. Don't become bewildered and depressed when things go wrong. Because all of these things are within the spool of time. They're within the spool of time. By nature, things get bad and then they get better. Then they get neutral. Then they get bad and then they get better. And then they get neutral. By nature. Therefore, to attribute blame is inappropriate and unbecoming. When Maharaj Prakshit sensed that there was that the personality of Kali had entered his kingdom, which was the whole earth, and he went out to do something about it. This is the real leader. Doesn't sit back in the plush office and push buttons and call people and tell them what to do and not ever take the risk himself, never. Maharaj Prakshit went out and he came across the person who was disguised as a king, who was actually a lower class person, and he was actually abusing a cow and a bull. The mother and father of humanity couldn't tolerate it, took out his sword, he was going to just slice his head off. Discipline. But then, because great personalities are also compassionate. When Kali became terrified and fell at his feet and surrendered to him, he gave him shelter. Qualities of actual great persons. They're very strict, but they're very liberal at the same time, and that's Krishna. No one else can be extremely strict and extremely liberal at the same time and get away with it. So Shiva and Parvati are the mother and father of this universe, and they are, you know, acting according to the will of the Lord always, and therefore the things that happen to us in this world, good, bad, or indifferent, they're all meant for our benefit. They're all directed by Krishna ultimately. Maya dyakshina prakriti suyate sachidata. He is directing the wanderings of all living entities. He is directing the modes of material nature. And therefore, even when Parvati cursed Maharaj Chitraketu, that was done by the will of the Lord. It was done by the will of the Lord to correct Maharaj Chitraketu from saying something, even in jest, critical of someone as exalted as Lord Shiva, which may mislead someone in the future. And also to correct Parvati for criticizing an equally advanced devotee of the Lord, Arashchitra Ketu. This is very difficult to understand. It's very subtle and very difficult to understand. And how did Chitra Ketu act? How did Chitra Ketu act? He took the curse on his head. He got down off the airplane, bowed down to Mother Parvati, his mother, and he said, "Oh, you have to please forgive me. I did something wrong. Whatever you cursed me to become a demon, I take it on my head. Thank you." Lord Shiva looked at Marachitra Ketu, looked at Parvati, and then the real reason why he did this through Parvati came out. Parvati, it appears that this devotee, because he's a pure devotee, is greater than you, even though you are the mother of the whole universe and can control everything. He showed you up by his humility, by his graciousness, by his kindness, by his forgiveness. These qualities are more powerful than Durga. So if you want to overcome Durga, you have to develop these qualities. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Chinadapi sunichina, tadodapi sunishtana, amanina manenena, kirtane yaksara. If you want to chant Hare Krishna constantly, means without stop, you must develop humility. And not just ordinary humility. You must develop utter humility. Utter humility means that you see literally everyone else as better than you. The materialist is on one end of the spectrum, and the pure devotee is on the other end of the spectrum. The pure devotee thinks everyone else is better than me. I am servant of everyone. And the materialist, the gross materialist thinks I am better than everyone else, and everyone should serve me. By that mentality, the modes of material nature are interacting and causing all of these things to happen. But ultimately, it is the will of Krishna. Ultimately, all these things that happen to us, whether they're good, whether they're bad, or whether they're just indifferent, they're all meant to teach us one thing, and one thing only. They're all meant to give us an opportunity to show Krishna that my faith and devotion in him will not flinch under any circumstance. That is the fruit of dānya. That is the fruit of humility. Fruit of humility is that my devotion for Krishna will not flinch under any circumstance. A pure devotee sees a setback as Krishna's mercy upon him so that he can show him how deep his love is. Maharaj Pariksit, at the end he was cursed completely unnecessarily, completely unfairly by this little boy. Brahman, the Brahmins then were powerful still, the Brahminical culture was still intact. He was the son of a Brahmin, he was doing his duties, learning mantras, you know, knew everything. When he found out that his father had been insulted by Maharaj Pariksit, he cursed him to die in 7 days. Maharaj Pariksit was the king of this world and a pure devotee of the Lord, so exalted that Krishna appeared to him in the womb, just personally saved him. He was so valuable. He was such a great soul, such a great devotee. He had the power to counteract this curse, as Chitraketu did. He had the power to counteract this curse. But they accept these things on their heads. They accept fate. And they don't blame. They don't see, now we're in a culture where it's the gacha culture. You know, 24-hour news cycle. Everybody's trying to get everybody else. Ah, look at him, what he did. Oh, look at him. And everybody's into it, everybody, it's everywhere. The whole planet is bristling with this quarreling attitude, with this conflict, and unnecessarily criticizing. So this is the purpose of this whole pastime. The purpose of the whole pastime is to teach us that it's better in a general sense not to criticize, especially those who are superior to us. And what happens when you become a pure devotee? You think everyone's superior to you, therefore you don't criticize anyone. In Upanishamrita, those 11 verses which describe from the beginning to the end the process of pure devotional service. It begins by controlling the senses and it ends in dipping into the Radha-kund. But in between, you can't just go and dip into the Radha-kund because that's the highest thing to do. Now they're doing that. Devotees, oh, this ISKCON movement, you know, so much trouble, look at all the austerity I have to do. They're just, you know, distributing books and collecting money. I'm going to go to Radha-kund and get the real thing. But you have to apply each verse leading up to that verse before you can go to Radha-kund. You have to actually have control of your senses. You have to actually learn how to engage in loving exchanges with the devotees. You have to learn how to avoid those things that are unfavorable, how to embrace the things that are favorable to your Krishna consciousness. You have to give up the tendency to criticize others at all, ever. You have to not see the body of pure devotees in a material way, ever, under any circumstance. You've done all those things, then you can go and bathe in Radha-kund properly. Get the result. There's a verse in the second part of Brihadbhagavatamrita when the Narada Muni is instructing Gopa Kumar, and he comes to this point of dainya, utter humility, and explaining what it is. And in one of those verses, he says, one should, under all circumstances, act in such a way that cultivates, by the word, by the mind, by the deed, utter humility. And anything that interferes with that progress, one should reject. You can only do that when your heart is saturated with love for Krishna. Therefore, dainya and prema, they go hand in hand. And the great acharyas, they equate them. They consider them to be non-different from one another. The cause and effectual relationship is so intimate that they're considered to be the same. So if you see someone who's claiming to have prema, first of all, if he claims to have prema, he doesn't have anything. But even if someone is claiming another person to have prema, and they don't show utter humility, reserve yourself. Don't go there. Don't go there. Humility is so important. And this pastime demonstrates this in such a wonderful way. Maharaj Chitraketu, by his humility, by the way he accepted the curse of Parvati, is being instructed now, encouraged actually. And Mother Parvati was chastened by Shiva. Your method is inferior. This is a pure Vaishnava. The pure Vaishnava's method is superior. This is important. It's so important because to live in this material world undisturbed, it doesn't mean that you don't, that a pure devotee doesn't feel some pain. In one lecture in Los Angeles in 1968, the year after Prabhupada had his heart attack and then came back to the States, and there was one young boy who was a kind of a favorite of the devotees. He was the son of one of the ladies there. I don't remember his name. He was famous for asking very great questions. And he asked Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, when you had your heart attack, did you feel pain? Prabhupada, and he said, what do you think? And he said, well, I thought that pure devotee doesn't feel pain. Prabhupada said, yes, I felt pain, but not so much. And then he explained that when the devotee feels pain, or the devotee has some difficulty, or the devotee is in an awkward circumstance, because he's thinking, oh, this is Krishna's mercy upon me for what I've done in my past. Better to suffer than to protest. And Krishna, from within the heart, gives to that devotee, relieves from that devotee seriousness. The pain's still there, but it's less, it's reduced by the mercy of Krishna. You know, the anxiety is less, and we can still continue to carry out our duties properly without being disturbed in devotional service, in devotional life. So whenever anything happens to us, it's going to throw us all off the rails and cause us to forget our devotional practices, for instance, lose the strength, the spiritual strength that takes to live in this world and tolerate all the dualities that come about naturally by living in a material body. You can't stop it. Living in a material body means awkwardness. You have to carry around this bag of unmentionable things. I mean, it looks nice because it's got this candy coating, you know, and nice eyes and smile. Everything looks nice, right? But anything that goes through it, you have to cast it away somewhere as far as possible. It's contaminated. The whole thing is contaminated. So when we're spiritually advanced, we can see that. We no longer become intoxicated by the material body. Then we can become steady. Steady in what? Steady in devotional service. Steady doesn't just mean, oh, I sit here like a stone and I don't move, or I don't feel anything. No. Devotee feels everything. But everything that he feels moves him to do something more for Krishna. Moves him to absorb consciousness more and more in Krishna, in Krishna's name, in Krishna's form, in Krishna's qualities, in Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's transcendental, loving, devotional service. This is the essence of life. Service. Devotional service. So while, you know, the sahajas run off to Radhakunda to be gopis with Krishna so they can be intimate and enjoy whatever, some kind of, you know, intense, you know, pleasure. The real gopis, all they are interested in is serving. They want to serve. So they run away to avoid service, thinking they become a gopi like that. They lose their service. They lose everything. So these things are meant to be incorporated into our character. Humility, steadiness, neutrality to material duality. So that we can learn the art of always thinking of Krishna. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. To learn the art of always thinking of Krishna. Even when it doesn't make any difference what you are, where you are, what you're doing, we can think of Krishna by practice, by constant practice and detachment. You're taking care of your family, you can always think of Krishna. This is what the gopis do in Braj. They carry on with their family duties and they're always singing the glories of Krishna while they're doing it. Arjuna is fighting the war. He's on the battlefield, having to remember his mantras, shoot his arrows, be in the right place at the right time, cross over such difficulties we can't even imagine. But because he's doing it purely out of love for Krishna, he's always thinking of Krishna at the same time he's doing those things. Tasmat sarvishu kalishu mam anusmarayu chacha maya ipadnomu. Fight. Or whatever else you do is for a living. But think of me. Tasmat sarvishu kalishu all the time. Mam anusmarayu chacha. And what is the opposite? Kamendriyani samyamya yaaste manasasmaran. If you're acting like you're renounced, but inside your mind you're thinking of sense gratification, always looking for it, and looking for ways to take advantage, then what? Indriyartha vimuratma. The word vimuratma is translated by Srila Prabhupada as self-deluded. We delude ourselves when we act one way and think another way. When we're not straightforward, then we delude ourselves, vimuratma, and mityachara suchite. We become pretenders. So we have to stop being pretenders. In the beginning, of course, we can't be perfect. In the beginning, it's not possible to understand and know all these things and apply all those things, but we have to understand. By hearing, we have to understand. We may not be scholars, but we have to hear, we have to understand, and we have to apply. That Brahmin, that the illiterate Brahmin in South India, that Lord Chaitanya met, you know, he couldn't read the alphabet. Literally, he was literate. He couldn't read the alphabet. But his Guru Maharaj said, you read Bhagavad Gita 18 chapters every day. So he was sitting in the village, turning the pages, trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, and everyone was laughing at him because they knew, the villagers, village relationship, they know everything about each other. They knew he couldn't read. He was, oh, what are you doing, Brahman? Making fun of him. Lord Chaitanya came to him, saw him, saw the whole scene, what was going on, understood everything. And he also approached, what are you doing, my dear Brahman? But the Brahman could understand, oh, this person is not teasing me. He's serious. He said, well, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, but sir, I have to confess, I'm illiterate. I don't understand the language. I can't read the letters. Then why are you doing such a thing, Lord Chaitanya says? Because my Guru Maharaj told me I had to, so I have to. What can I do? He said, yes, but I was watching you for some time, and I noticed that sometimes you're crying. How is that? If you're not reading, if you're not understanding. He said, yes, I attend lectures. I attend lectures. I heard in the lectures about how Krishna is acting as the charioteer of Arjuna. So when I pick up this Gita, I think, oh, how Krishna, the Supreme Lord of the universe, is so kind to his devotee. That he drives his chariots, Parthasarathi. And I cry. Lord Chaitanya picked him up, with his own hands picked him up, embraced him. You are the actual reader of the Gita. You see. So these dualities of material nature, passion, ignorance, witness, they're like waves. The material modes of nature are like waves, and they crash over us. And sometimes we feel very good, sometimes we feel depressed, sometimes we feel, you know, passionate, angry, restless. These are the modes of nature. We have to learn the art of neglecting them and continuing to think of Krishna. And as you do that, as you perfect that art, what happens is the modes of nature, they back off. With Krishna in the heart, he tells them, okay, here's someone who understands. Now back off from this person. Only if you're chosen by Krishna like that can you become a pure devotee. Only if you're chosen like that can you get Krishna prema and go back to the spiritual world. You can't get it by becoming a great scholar, by becoming a great kirtan leader, by becoming a great book distributor, by becoming a great pujari, by becoming a great cook, by becoming a great mother or father, whatever. you can't get Krishna prema by any means except Krishna's choosing you. The other things that we do are means by which we convince Krishna to give it. There's no other means that can get Krishna prema. So we do our duties, therefore, with detachment. And we cultivate this inner mood of devotional feeling. We offer the things that we offer and do for Krishna saturated with love, saturated with devotion. And then Krishna relieves us of whatever we need to be relieved of. He chastises us for whatever we need to be chastised for. And in that way, he guides us back to him. He brings us back to him. Pesham sadati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam te yenama upayatite. If you become absorbed, pesham sadati yuktanam, if you become always absorbed in service, in loving service, how? Bhajatam, service. Bhajatam is service. Priti. Priti. With affection, with genuine care, love, devotion. Puravakam. Fully. Then dadami bodhi yogamta. Krishna gives you from within the heart the intelligence. How to understand. How to come back to him. How to keep him in your heart. How to capture him. How to be enchanted by him. So Maharaj Chittaketu, he got the better of Parvati. He got the body of a demon. But in that body of a demon, what happened? Of course, that's a little further down the road. That's, you know, he gave himself to Krishna, even in the battle over Indra. He was the one. He was praying to Krishna, instructing Indra how to behave properly, how to think properly. And he went back to Godhead in the body of a demon. Because he was actually a pure devotee. So we should try our best to become undisturbed. We have material bodies. Externally we may sometimes be disturbed because of disease or whatever, old age, invalidity, anxiety, whatever. But we show Krishna, we care by continuing to remember him, chant his name, serve him without deviation and with affection. And then all of the problems of material existence, they're insignificant. They're there. They're still there. They don't go away, but they're insignificant compared to the happiness that we experience by serving Krishna and loving. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Or Premanandi. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Maharaj Chittaketu ki jai. Shri Parvati ki jai. Kaur Premanandi. Questions? Okay, I must have said something right or nothing. One of the two. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for your talk. One question is like, when somebody is saying something jokingly, and the other person take it as an offense, then, like, is it an offense on the part of that person who is joking, or that other person is taking it like, you know?
He's asking, can you hear what he said? He's saying if a person says something in jest, but the other person takes it otherwise, he takes it seriously, gets offended, then is the offense on one person or the offense on another person? Well, that was a major part of the class, was to explain that it's both. It's both. And it's neither. It's both. And it's neither. It depends on the consciousness. It depends on the consciousness. But the point is that better safe than sorry, we say in English. Better safe than sorry. So okay, Parvati got the facility to criticize Chittaketu Maharaj. Why? Because she was the mother. The mother can chastise the son. The mother can criticize the son. It's not offense. So yes, but no, at the same time. So there was offense, but the offense was turned into something positive and something practical and something beneficial and learning experience. By the way, those personalities handle it. These books are meant for us to learn how to think and how to feel and how to will and how to act in this world in a way that we can stay aloof and not become implicated in sinful reactions. The point is you can't avoid those things while you're in the material world. You can't control what another person is going to say to you. You may be, like it said, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was Dharmaraj. He didn't have an enemy. What was his name? Ajatashatru. But that didn't mean that people didn't think that they were his enemy. He didn't have an enemy. In his heart, no one was his enemy. But there were all these people who thought that they were his enemy, and he had to fight. But because he was fighting for the right cause, in the right consciousness, out of love for Krishna, it reconciled these so-called inconsistencies and complications and contradictions. The world is contradictory. The material world is contradicted. You can't stop those things. The only thing you can do is to remove yourself from them. Not in the impersonal sense, not to go away, but to learn how to respond properly. So that your behavior will be beneficial to everyone and instructive to everyone. So even if apichet surajaro, bhajate man ananyama, sadur eva samantavya samyak vyavasya. See, in this verse, there's a contradiction. Apichet sudaracharo, a person who's engaged in an abominable activity, sadur eva, he is a sadhu. Wait, no. A person can't be a sadhu engaged in abominable activity. It's apparently a contradiction. But this verse is the verse in the Gita that Krishna uses to define what a sadhu is. In Krishna, everything is reconciled. So what is the reconciliation? The person's determination is in devotional life. The person doesn't ever stop doing devotional service. The person doesn't turn tail and run when it gets hot. When the heat's on, when there's some pressure, or somebody says something that's not right, or inconsistent, or even frivolous, or whatever. We can't control those things. What we can control is our own reaction to things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if the faults of others disturb you, look within, find your own faults, And always remember, no one can ever hurt you. You can only hurt yourself. This is the reconciliation. Lord Nityananda was so, he was avidut. He was always in the mood of Lord Balaram as a child. But he was a grown man. Sometimes he would run around naked. Sometimes he would chase after the girls. He wasn't chasing after the girls. He was playing. He was in Braj. He was real avidut. So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, if you see Lord Nityananda go into a, you know, bar or a, this place or that place, and you criticize him, you're finished. Your spiritual life's finished. Completely. So we have to learn how to see. You know, omagyana timidandasya kenanjana shalakya. We see with understanding, we see with knowledge. We don't see just with our eyes. We don't just react because of some external apparent inconsistency. We see behind. Therefore, it's very interesting. When Maharaj Prickett started to interrogate Dharma to try to understand who was it that was the cause of his difficulty, because he was trying to get, you know, Kali, he was trying to prove it so he could cut his throat. But Dharma wouldn't blame anybody. He started talking about, some people say it's this, and some people say it's the elements, and some people say it's time, some people, all these philosophies, you know. And then Parikshit Maharaj understood, oh, you're very intelligent, you're not an ordinary bull. You're Dharma, personified. Yeah? So you won't blame anybody, because you know that if you blame somebody, that blame will go on you. You'll become as the same as the perpetrator. And then it came to the point of Achintya, Beda Beda Tattva, because he wouldn't even blame Krishna, because ultimately it says Krishna is in control of everything. Krishna's behind everything, sanctioning everything. He wouldn't blame Krishna even. Because the material modes of nature, Krishna isn't behind the modes of nature, you know, say, oh yes, let's punish this, let's get this person, let's watch this person suffer. No, Krishna's not like that. He's setting the whole thing in motion, he's sanctioning. But nadate kaschichit papam chaiva sukhitam vipu agyani navitam cha. What is that verse? Nadate kaschichit papam chaiva sukhitam vipu agyani navitam yanam tena muyanti jantipa. Tena muyanti jantipa. Krishna's not responsible. He doesn't take on the responsibility for our, what happens to us, good or bad. That's tena muyanti jantipa. Munyam, because of our illusion, because of our acting wrongly, and the modes of nature react. And not directly Krishna doing that. So we have to learn these things and detach ourselves with this knowledge. Then we won't be as disturbed. And as the disturbance goes less, we'll be able to continue our service without becoming disturbed. And become fixed in our service. And as we become fixed in our service, and the hearing and chanting and all these things, our affection for Krishna will naturally grow to the point where it will overcome everything. It will cover everything. So this is the process of advancing in devotional life and Krishna consciousness. It's not an external thing. It's not just an external thing. Somebody flies over an airplane, ha 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 ha, and then that's it. No, there's so much more to it. Krishna's teaching us how to deal, how to respond. Okay, it's late. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your ears, your hearts. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam.